Help us all realize that and know that as we all look up to you today and know that we're here, Lord, to worship you. And Lord, knowing that God, in turn, you will do something for us that we cannot do on our own. The only thing we can do is worship, and then you do the rest. I ask you to give us that strength and that anointing. Lord, touch us, God, in such a way that we know that you've been here, that you've worked with us and through us, God, and that you have got this. Lord, we trust you right now in the name of Jesus for some miraculous things to happen this day, and that when we leave this place, something miraculous will have taken place. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. You can be seated. I want to talk for just a few minutes on five lessons from five smooth stones. Five lessons from five smooth stones. And of course, when we talk about David and Goliath, we always talk about David and Goliath from David's viewpoint. But today we're going to talk about, again, and I've talked about this a subject similar before. We're going to talk about it today from Goliath's viewpoint. Now think about it. We're not talking about how David saw this. We're going to talk about how Goliath saw this. So get ready. There's some good stuff in here, and I want you to really dig down deep. And again, anytime, remember this, anytime you want an outline from the service, you can get it. Just wait. I'll go make a copy. Anytime you have any questions about it, write it down. I'll be glad to talk with you about it because we want you to learn as much as you possibly can and to be able to fight the battle the best you possibly can. So five lessons from five smooth stones. Again, we're going to talk about this from Goliath's viewpoint. And that's kind of, has anybody feel like that lately? You're looking at your problem and you see your problem overwhelming. That's an overwhelming problem. It's a giant in your life. Matter of fact, there's a lot of us in here right now. We have overwhelming giants in our life. And when this overwhelming giant comes against us, we have a choice. We can run and crouch in fear. We can deny. Or we can go ahead and take the bull by the horn, so to speak, and fight the battle. So here we're going to talk about five lessons from five smooth stones. First, that there's Goliath. Now Goliath, to him, it's another day at the office. If you look at Goliath, there was Goliath and his four brothers. That's really, a lot of people say it's prophetic that he had five smooth stones. He used one for Goliath. And then by the hands of David and or his servants, the four other brothers of Goliath died. So there was five altogether that died. And every last one of them, if you look at them, their names, if you look it up in the Hebrew, it's a method of spiritual warfare that the enemy comes against us with. But the number one thing that the enemy does to get us, the number one thing the enemy does to tear us up is Goliath means beheader. The very first thing Satan has to do, if he's going to win the battle against you, if he's going to take you down, the very first thing the enemy has to do is he has to behead you. He has to get you thinking in the wrong direction. As a man thinketh, so he is. He tries to get you thinking in the wrong direction, thinking nobody loves you, everybody hates you. One person can say something and ruin your whole day because he's got you doing some stinking thinking. So the very first thing the enemy has to do in our life, if he's going to win, is he's got to behead us. Now next, there's a champion. Goliath went out for 40 days and 40 nights, so that's 80 trips. Now think about it now. He's bombarding the children of Israel in the morning. The first thing they hear when they wake up is Goliath. The last thing they hear when they go to bed is Goliath. I'm here to tell you right now, if the enemy is trying to behead you, the first thing you hear in the morning is that stuff that he's trying to get you to believe, that junk that he's trying to get you to believe. The last thing you'll hear at night before you go to bed, you will go to bed thinking about the junk that he's trying to get you to believe. So all the children of Israel, the armies of Israel, they're all hiding behind rocks. Saul, who is the biggest, the baddest of them all, is hiding. And Goliath comes out and says, look, we all need is one man, the champion, to come and fight me. And what it was back in that day, because it was such a bloody confrontation, remember the Civil War? And how many thousands of men died at each battle? Because after you got your shot off, then you had to go hand-to-hand combat. It was some terrible, terrible stuff. And a lot of people, a lot of amputees, a lot of bad stuff happened in those battles. Can you imagine back in the earlier days when you didn't even have the gun with you? And so these guys, it would be a very, very tragic thing. And so what they would do is they would call for the champion. And in the middle of the field, the champion from the one side would face the champion from the other side, and it was winner take all. whoever won, the other side had to submit to the winning side, and they had to turn over their arms and give over the spoil and offer themselves as slaves to the other side. And so there's this. So nobody wants to take this opportunity to be the champion of Israel. I don't know if anybody just didn't feel like they were up to it. I don't know exactly what was going on, other than they were scared out of their wits because the beheader had them believing they were not able. The beheader today has got some of y'all thinking you can't get over the problem that you're facing. You can't stand up against the problem that you're facing. And he tells you that when you get up in the morning. Well, here's another day that you're going to have to face this problem. When you go to bed at night, here's another day. When you get up in the morning, you're going to have to face it again. And so you toss and turn all night. So here it is. The champion, the gap stander was there. So the challenger, Goliath, had for 40 days or 40 nights had been coming at them. He beheaded Israel without a fight. How many times has Satan beheaded you without a fight? How many times has he played that hit game with you and won without ever lifting a finger? Wow. That's powerful. And so remember, here he is. He had beheaded Israel without a fight. Now this is what's so cool. And see, he's over here looking at all these big old soldiers and all these big bad to the bone guys, and they don't want to fight him, but now he's getting ready to meet a little shepherd boy. A little shepherd boy that just didn't know that he could be beat. He trusted his God enough to know that his God could handle it. He was set out in the fields and write love songs to God. As he wrote love songs to God, we got them now called the Psalms. So he writes love songs to God, and he talks about his experiences in the Psalm. And you'll see, even if a Psalm starts out bad, it ends up good because he tells about how God took the bad situation and he turned it around. So now, Goliath's perspective about the whole thing is getting ready to change. We're only going to do one of them today. We got five stones, but I don't want to behead you today with five of them. One. We'll do one or two, three, four next week, all right? So now, watch this now. There's five things. There are five things that Goliath did that brought him defeat. Five of them. And I want you to think about this. I want you to see this because he still uses them today, but what he does is, as he's using them, he beheads you and gets you into thinking what he's trying to tell you is true. Get ready. What he's trying to get you to believe, he wants you to believe that it's true. And so we must never allow this stuff to take root in our life. We must never allow, you know, I was at the cancer center the other day, and one of the ladies was in there, and when you're at the cancer center, you get to see a bunch of people, of course, with cancer, and they're all going through different stages and going through different things, and some in wheelchairs, and some are on crutches, and some are walking, but they're all going through different stages of cancer. And something happened, I don't know exactly what happened, but I saw it. I could see it. I could sense it. The devil just come up to her. Goliath went up with his sword. In my mind, I'm not talking about I saw it literally. I saw it in my mind. But as she began to talk, I saw it. I saw the enemy behead her. And then he come to me and Bethany and drew his sword to get us to believe the same stuff. And I looked at her and I said, ma'am, don't believe that lie. Don't even play with it in your mind. I said, matter of fact, she said, but I can't stop the thought. And then I told her this one, of course, you all heard this before. I said, you can't stop a bird from landing on your head, but you can keep it from building a nest. And she said, that's a good point. I said, then pick your head back up and get back in the game. How many times somebody told you to get your head back in the game? That's what I was talking about. Don't lose your head. Amen. So here we go. Watch this now. Here it goes. If you know this stuff's coming, then you're already prepared for it. And if you know you're already coming, you're prepared for it, then it shouldn't get the best of you like it would have if you were not prepared for it. All right? So here we go. Number one, look at little old David. Wasn't he pretty? The Bible says he was pretty and he was red-headed and freckle-faced. I think his name was David Richards, was it? No, it was David. Okay, here we go. That's amazing how Quasimodo talked about Frank and now we're talking about Brandon. How did that even come from the same family? I don't know. Here we go. y'all know we're joking. Amen. So, in verse 42, it says, he disdained him, for he was only a youth. Goliath, listen carefully, because he gets you to believe this. He judged the outcome by the size of his opponent. Of course, Goliath overrun David. He was twice his size. And so he said, this is going to be easy. This is going to be powerful. I mean, I don't have to. I can just flick him and he'll go. But many times we see the enemy and we see the size of the enemy and we're afraid. The things have been coming at us so long, 40 days and 40 nights. That 40 the number of trial. Here it is. You have got this trial coming. It hits you in the morning when you wake up. It hits you before you go to bed at night. You sleep on it. You know, I wish I could find it now. I was sitting there the night. It was about 9:30, 10 o'clock. All of a sudden, a friend out of nowhere just sends me a text. And it says, why don't you just give this to God and get you a good night's sleep? End of story. I went, whoa. And so I texted him back and I said, who'd you send that to? And did God tell you to send it? He said, well, I reckon God told me to send it. So you're the only person I'll send it to. I said, well, I reckon God did tell you to send it, and you tell God, thank you for me. So watch this. Here we go. You ready? Goliath was insulted. There was a boy sent to do a man's job. Goliath was a mighty warrior. He was trained from the early days up. He had no emotions when he went into battle. He just won. He didn't care what he had to do, who he had to kill. He was emotionally trained to just be a wall and to go in and to take it down. And here comes this little ruddy, red-headed face coming up against this mighty warrior. And so when he sees this, first he's insulted. Then after he's insulted, he begins to laugh and he begins to mock. So see, again, remember now, I'm here to say something that some of y'all need to hear bad. Listen carefully. He had already determined the winner. Some of y'all in here right now have already determined the loser. And it's not your enemy. Without a fight, without raising a sword, you see the size of the enemy that's coming against you, and you already have determined that it's going to be a quick victory, it's going to be easy for the enemy to come against you, and so instead of standing up and fighting, instead of resisting, you just already determined that you're going to lose. And I can tell you, if that's what you got in your mind, then I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. I can promise you, if that's what's in your mind, guess what you're going to do? You're going to lose. We cannot fall for the tactics of the beheader. Amen? So watch this. That's good. Look, Satan himself, of course, that's who Goliath was standing for. That's who Goliath was a symbol of. Satan himself works at us through intimidation. I'm going to give you a few scriptures, and I want you to take these scriptures, and I want you to hold on to them. What I do is when I find myself in a situation where I seem outnumbered, when I find myself in a situation like with Bethany and the cancer, and I have to not give in to the intimidation, not give in, you know, when I look at the doctor, and the doctor goes, I'm not, you know, all of a sudden you hear in your mind, he's getting me to tell me there's nothing else. Because he's going, and I have to stop myself. And I say, no, let him talk. Or when something's going on in somebody else's life and I'm trying to help them and all of a sudden the doctor comes in and says, well, I got good news and bad news, or I just got some bad news or whatever. You know, oh, And back in the day, before they changed the emergency room around in the Beaufort County Hospital, there was a certain room that the doctor came out or a nurse came out and said, the doctor wants to see you in this room. If it was in that room, and I'd been a chaplain there, I knew what that meant, that the loved one had died and now he was in there or was dying, and he wouldn't take him in that room to talk to them, and I'd have to go in and console them. And so I remember one day I was sitting there, and the wife even told me, she says, I wonder how my husband's doing. I said, I don't know. And she says, where'd the doctor come from? Where'd the doctor go? He was right over there. I said, as long as he stays there, I felt so bad after this. I said, as long as he stays over there, we're fine, but if he calls you from that room, watch out. The door opened and said, ma'am, can you come in here? And I just want to say it. He said, your husband's leaving this world. If you want to speak to him now. Hold his hand. But I thought about how many times do we already have it set up in our mind? If it happens this way, we're not going to win. If it happens this way, we're going to lose. If it happens this way, we got to get that thinking out of our mind. The stinking thinking will take us out of here quicker than anything else. It will rust your pipes. So number one, I sit down sometimes at night when I'm trying to lay down and I can't sleep. Here's what I do. I start quoting these scriptures. And I don't just quote the scripture. I actually try to imagine. It's called meditation. I try to think about this scripture, and I think about every word, every phrase. And when I think about these words and these phrases, as I begin to think about them in my mind, these words and phrases, then I begin to imagine Jesus sitting there right with me, telling me this. And as I just keep going over with it in my mind, it's amazing how much comfort you can feel. Be sober. Be vigilant. Be sober. Abstain from anything that's going to take away your ability to think. The beheader. Very first thing. Leave the beheader alone. Understand that he wants to take away your ability to think. He wants to control your thinking to get you to think what he wants you to think. And I can guarantee you it's not going to be good. So, be sober. Be vigilant. Don't just push it down. Sometimes you got to keep pushing it down. You got to keep resisting. You got to keep saying, I'm not going to listen. You got to keep saying, I'm not going to put up with this. You're not going to tear my mind apart. You're not going to get me where I cannot think. You're not. Be sober. Abstain from that which takes away your mind to be header. Be vigilant. Sometimes you have to keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on. And remember, I told you, the negative in your mind, a negative outweighs a positive by 6 to 7 times. And so you have to control a negative with a bunch of positives in order to get that negative down. So you got to keep on going. I'm not going to put up with it. I don't have to listen to this. I'm not going to fall for you again now, for your junk. So be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, the adversary, the one that is totally against you, even if you think he tries to tell you that he's for you, it's only so he can do something even greater against you. He is not for you. He's your adversary. He's like the mighty wind that's blowing against you. So, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's on the prowl. He's on the prowl. If you'll let him, he'll come in your house. If you'll let him, he'll just go on into your mind and start talking. And he's in there telling you how you're not going to get this, how you're not going to make it, just like the serpent did Eve in the garden. Does God really love you? Did God really mean it when he said you couldn't eat everything in this garden but this one fruit? Is God scared that you're going to be like him, that you're going to know this stuff? Here it is. The lion is on the prowl. I love this. This is one of my favorite scriptures in the entire Bible. Matter of fact, I had a cockatiel. And I'm going to tell you, I saw the scripture and I decided to teach him something. I'll tell you in a minute. In nothing be terrified by your adversaries. In nothing. What does nothing mean? In nothing. It means no matter what he throws at you, no matter what he throws at you, don't be afraid of him. Don't be terrified. I can understand if you're startled. I mean, as many times I've been startled, but there's a difference between being startled and terrified. Terrified is when I'm stuck in my tracks and I can't move. I can be startled and keep moving, but if I'm terrified, I can't do a thing. I'm just stuck. I can't do a thing. So look, in nothing be terrified or stuck by your adversaries or when he comes against you and he's attacking against you, which to your adversaries to them is an evident token. It means you cannot deny this. It's an evident token of their perdition, of their evil, but to you of salvation and that of God. And I told you about my cockatiel. I told my cockatiel I was teaching it things. It was saying things. You know, my favorite was "Get me out of here." I taught it how to say "Get me out of here." So people come in the house and my cockatiel will be sitting in his cage and go, "Get me out of here! Get me out of here!" Of course, praise God. I love to praise God. Oh, praise God! Praise God! Praise God! But my favorite. I couldn't teach him all of this. I couldn't teach him the whole scripture because he didn't have that big of vocabulary. I couldn't even teach him Philippians 1:28. Here's what I taught him. He'd be sitting in the cage. He'd go, "Here, kitty, kitty, kitty. Here, kitty, kitty, kitty. Here, kitty, kitty, kitty." And people say, "Is he saying, 'Here, kitty, kitty, kitty'?" I said, "Yes. Don't he realize he's a bird?" I said, "Yes." She said, people say, "Well, why is he saying, 'Here, kitty, kitty, kitty'?" I said, "Because I told him in Philippians 1:28, 'And nothing be terrified by your adversaries.'" I said, "I want my bird to be strong." Amen. Nothing be terrified of your adversaries. And watch this. Here's a good one. I had to overcome this one big time. When I first started preaching, I looked like a little bitty young. I was almost 30. I looked like I was 15. And somebody even asked me, was on the work program from school to preach. I was so skinny. I looked like a mop. Big old hair. Big round. I bought a pinstripe suit. I was so skinny, I only had one stripe. Had to run back and forth shower to get wet. Had to tease the hair on my legs to hold my socks up. I mean, I was skinny. And I always felt somebody go, I go into a prison or I go into the jail ministry, and somebody go, "Well, who are you? Are you here to clean up our mess? Are you here to do this? Are you here to we're going to change your diaper?" And so I stood on this one a lot. I mean, a lot. Timothy was a young man, probably one of the youngest ones in the ministry. Timothy had a great responsibility. He was going to be taken over after Paul left. So Paul was doing his best to teach Timothy how to be an overseer, how to be able to handle all these churches and handle all this stuff. And people would talk about Timothy because he was so young looking and because he just looked like a kid. And they didn't think he knew anything. And so Paul had to keep telling Timothy, "You got this. God's got this with you." But I love this one, "That no man despise thy youth." Don't let somebody judge you because you think you're too young, too old, not good enough, not big enough, not small enough. Whatever you are, the devil's going to tell you, whatever you are, he's going to tell you the other end of the spectrum is what people are looking for. You're not old enough. You're not young enough. You're not big enough. You're not smart enough. Guess what? You're everything God needs you to be. Amen? So now, "Let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example to the believers." In other words, you make sure, no matter what, you be an example. Show them. You may be a little, but dynamite comes in small packs. Amen. So, and I was watching this movie. It was a show, and it was talking about weapons, and it talked about the atom bomb and how it was developed and all this, and then how finally it was used in World War II. And I saw that tiny atom, and that tiny atom. I forget how many people once that one bomb was dropped. I forget if it was 80 or 800. I can't remember which, but it was either 80,000 or 800,000 were killed by that one bomb in a matter of seconds. Many people didn't even know what hit them. When they went there to clean up afterwards, there was buildings that had the shadow of people on the building, but the people were gone. They were burned up that fast. They were vaporized. And when the blast came by, their shadow was on the wall, and they were nowhere to be found. Tiny, tiny atom. And then the rattlesnake, of course. The rattlesnake, a baby one can be just as deadly as a large one. And one of my favorite stories of all times is Gideon and his 300. He overthrew the Midianites, and of course Elijah and his servant, they took on the entire Syrian army. You see, like I told Bethany, I was telling Bethany this morning, I was telling her yesterday, and I just keep trying to lift up her faith and keep her moving forward, not backwards, and keep on holding on and believing, not disbelieving, but believing God for a miracle and believing God can do something. And of course, I'll take a picture of her wound, and then I'll take it and I'll hold it up to her, and I'll say, "Now, do you see a difference?" She says, "Yes, Daddy, it's getting smaller." I said, "Don't you see that?" And then when I try to bandage or whatever, and she'll say, "You hurt me, Daddy." I say, "Well, I can't help it. I've got to hurt you. But this hurting is a healing hurt. Don't keep thinking about the negative. You keep thinking about the positive, girl. You're going to get through this. You're going to stand strong." She says, "Yes, Daddy, we're going to do it." I said, "Yes, we're going to do it together." All right. But look, again, mustard seed faith. Anybody ever seen a mustard seed? That's a man's, look, it's about the size of, take your pen. If you got a pen with you, take your pen. And pop out the end. That's about how big that little ball on the end. That's about how big a mustard seed faith, a mustard seed is. Very, 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 very small. But God said the smallest of seeds can produce the most powerful results. Think about it. The smallest of seeds can produce the most powerful results. You just keep on sowing seeds. Don't you let the beginner get you thinking that what you do doesn't matter. That what you say doesn't matter. That you have nothing to say. That you have nothing to do. Don't let the enemy get you to believe that. Or that you cannot get out of this. Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have a faith as a grain of mustard seed," and I can see him holding it up, and he's pointing, "you can say to this mountain, remove henceforth to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing," y'all say nothing, "and nothing shall be impossible for you." So, and I'm getting ready to close. He said he was a youth and ruddy and fair countenance. Let me ask you a question. I love Zechariah 4:10. Who has despised the day of small things? I like another translation is, who has despised the day of small beginnings? Goliath did. And Goliath died. Wow. Goliath despised David, but David showed him just what his God was made out of. You see, all of Israel compared God to Goliath. And David come along and compared Goliath to his God. Wow, that's a big difference. That's only one of the stones. We're going to hit the rest of them, or maybe all of them next week, pretty sure. If we don't, we'll get them in 2 weeks. You can look around you, and you can sit back, and it's easy to look around you and go, "You know what, I remember when this place was packed and whatever," and or sit back and I remember when such and such was going on, and we had this going on, that going on. And we don't realize, and we kind of forget that, look, again, we get that stinking thinking, we're beheaded, and thinking this is how it's always going to be, and it's not going to get any better, it's going to get worse. But you know what? I'm pretty sure that's what Gideon was thinking as God started moving stuff out of the way so he could do a fresh work. I don't see negative. I see positive. God's getting ready just to build us back up in a very powerful way. We've got to trust him along the way. You know, my wife and I went and bought a flower. It was really funny. Linda went and she said, "I just want a little flower." They got a little green flower to put in the bedroom. I said, "Okay." And this was Friday night at Lowe's, and she said, "I don't even care." She says, "We're so good at killing them. That's our gift. We have a black thumb." She said, "Well, I'll tell you what I'll do." We looked over there. She said, "I don't want to spend a lot of money on it. I just want to look at the video." So we go over there and we look. And this said, discount section, plants. So we go and pick up. I should have put the pictures up here. I may have tried to put one up here, of course, next week. And there was a pot that was about that big around, about like this, and it had dried up flowers laying over the side. Or leaves, just leaves, just laying over. And she said, "Look here, honey." I said, "It was. Is it ready for?" I said, "Does it take some fat back? We can have us a little meal. Cook it." She said, "No." She says, "I believe something can happen from that." And I said, "Dear, that thing is graveyard dead." She says, "No, nah, there's still a chance." I said, she said, "It's only a dollar." I said, "It's a dollar too much. They need to pay you a dollar to take it." And she says, "No, honey, I believe that'll grow." I said, "All right, if you want to." So I said, "Let me see if I can't talk them out at the checkout line, talk them down." So I get to the checkout line. I said, "You're really going to charge us a dollar for this?" And she said, "Uh-huh." I said, "It's dead." I said, "You ought to pay us a dollar to take it." She says, "No, you're going to pay me a dollar to take it." I said, "But look, lady, can't you knock something off?" She said, "But I'll tell you what I can do." I said, "Watch." She goes over to it was outside in the back. She goes over to the water hose and she squirts it. She goes, and she was from some other nationality. And she said, "Now, when you go home, it'll be nice and pretty." And I said, "Really?" I said, "It's dead." I said, "I'm going to name it. If this comes up, I'm going to name this Lazarus." And so to make matters worse, she put it in a Lowe's bag. And I walked out and started going, dun, 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 dun. And I carried it home and we stuck it beside Linda's chair. The next morning, it was up and proven. I said, "Well, you know what? That was the best dollar we ever spent on a plant." And she said, "I think we're going to call this plant Lazarus." And the Lord spoke to me and said, "You know, there's a lot of areas that you deal with other people and your own self that you feel like everything's kind of just laid down and wilted. But if you trust me with it and just keep adding the water of life, you can see the same thing here." Some of y'all right now, God's waiting. He wants to raise it up, but you got to change your thinking. Amen. Let's all stand. Brandon, you want to come play something kind of softly? He looking good. Yeah, like little, he ain't little David, he's big David. Tall David. Remember this, Goliath, the beheader. The very first thing the enemy's got to do to take you down, he's got to get you thinking wrong. He's got to get you thinking in another direction. He's got to get you believing that it's hopeless. He's got to get you believing that he's already won the battle. He's got to get you believing that the marriage is too far gone to be saved. He's got to get you believing that sickness has got you. Nothing can happen but death. Got to get you believing that there's no way that you can get back out of what you got in. And once he gets you thinking this way, once he beheads you, then he's got you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around. I'm just going to ask. How many here would say, you realize the head game that the enemy is playing on you now? Your eyes have been opened. You see it. There's a head game. And you have to change the way you're thinking before you can step into victory. Nobody looking around, just say, "Pray for me that I can change the way I'm thinking. The beheader's got me. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. The beheader's got me. And I've got to not accept what he's dealing with." Right now, the altars are open. Lord, those that raise their hand, touch them. Let them see, let them know, let them understand that there's something better out there. That we don't have to put up with the junk that the enemy tries to throw at us. That we can stand strong and true. If you got a need in your life for anything, or you just need to talk to God, I want you to come on up here. Come on up here. God's got this. God's got this. God's got this. God's got this. And if you don't want to come up and pray, just put your hands up in the air right now. And trust God. God's got this. God's got this. Lord, help my thinking. Help how I do what I do. Lord, I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father. You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. There's nothing beyond you. There's nothing beyond your scope. You can handle this. You can handle this. You can handle this. Ask you right now, God, to help us, Lord, to reach up and to know that you've got this. We trust you, God. We trust you, Lord. We trust you. We trust you. God, it's in your hands. We trust you. Help us not to give in to stinking thinking. Help us not to give in to thinking that we've lost already. Help us not to give in to thinking that it's always going to be this way. Help us not to keep thinking that it's dead, it's gone, it's over. God, there's always hope. There's always hope in you. Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for new hope. I thank you, God, for new power. I thank you, God, for a fresh anointing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory. 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 Brandon's doing an awesome job here. Tuesday night, we're talking about decision making and discovering God's will for your life. Come on out. We're having an awesome, awesome, awesome time. Everybody's heart and mind clear? You ready to go home and make a difference for the Lord? Think it's fine to tell them, God, make a difference. All right. All right. Hang in there. Brother W. Smith, in prayer, please.